Tonight I'd like to invite you over to the book of 1 John, chapter 2, verse 20. 1 John, chapter 2, verse 20. 1 John, chapter 2, verse 20 reads this way. It says, "But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this evening, thanking you again for the privilege of gathering together as your people and knowing, Lord, that we're two or three gathered in your name, there are you in the midst. And Lord, you've called on us to call on you to do great and mighty things, Lord, that we don't even know yet. And so, Lord, by faith, we trust in your word and your promise. We ask, Lord, for the blessing and the filling of your Holy Spirit, that you might guide us to hear from you and to worship you in spirit and in truth, that you might give us a greater understanding of what you've given to us in salvation, that we might use it for your honor and glory, and experience your great grace in a greater way. And Lord, be the testimony and the witness to the world of that great grace that needs you so desperately. Bless, Lord, this service, your people, and your church, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this evening is An Unction from the Holy One. We get that right there from our text. And by way of introduction, because of this unction, the Bible tells us that you know all things, and that is through the unction of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to consider three truths as we consider the unction. And by the way, this unction is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And this, the Holy Spirit brings to the yielded believer a walk or a life that changes our whole, witness to the world that God wants us to have. And so what we consider when we look at this word unction or anointing, it is a special endowment, right? You heard of a dowry, that's something that's been given. And the Lord gives us this endowment, this filling, this power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And because of that, the indwelling Holy Spirit confirms the truth of God's word in us and the promises and the work that he wants to do in our lives. So I want to look at three things that we want to consider concerning this indwelling Holy Spirit or this anointing from the Holy One or this special endowment. And what that causes us to do is it brings the believer to understand the truth and to know that no lie is of the truth. And then the Holy Spirit also leads us to abide in what we've heard from the beginning. And then also that we abide in the anointing of him that abides in us, right? The Holy Spirit abides in us. And so remember what the Lord said, "Abide in me and I in you, for without me you can do nothing." We know that, right? And so, and by the way, listen, stop and think about this. Now, can we not do things without the Holy Spirit? Yes, we can. But will they honor and glorify the Lord? No, they won't. They won't. Not even with the best of intentions. Whatever we do in our strength is not what the Lord is asking us to do. I will tell you, that is a hard lesson for our flesh to understand. That's what Peter had hard time coming to grips with. You know, he loved the Lord and he was wanting to do right. And he wasn't doing right. And God blessed in spite of his really obstinate of understanding and receiving that truth. Remember, I just want to remind you, I think it's Luke chapter 5 where the Lord comes to him after he'd been fishing all night and didn't catch anything. Remember that? And the Lord says, "Listen, let me get in your boat," and I'm just paraphrasing here, and I want to preach and just cast out a little bit. And he spoke to everybody, right? He preached to everybody. And then he told Peter, "Let's go out into the deep and cast your nets," plural, "for a great draught of fishes," or draft of fishes, a great haul is what it was. And Peter said, "Oh, Lord, you know, I'm a fisherman by trade." Well, the Lord is the one who created you to be a fisherman by trade. Amen? Amen. Listen. Let's do something. If I don't forget, I'm going to come back to that, all right? I might forget about that, but here, listen, ready? List all the things that you're good at. Put your name on top, imaginary name on top of the list, and list all the things that you're good at, right? Everything that you are good at. And then when you're finished with that list, take your name off of it and put God's name up there because he's the one that made you good at those things. Amen? We would do a whole lot better that way if we understood it from that perspective. We think we're so good at everything or the things that we're good at, and yet God is the one that gave us the intellect and the health and the ability to do those things. And so let's give God the praise where it's due, right? Glory to who it's due to. And so back to Peter. I didn't forget. Back to Peter. Here he is telling the Lord, listen, we fished all night, Lord. It's just not going to work is what he was saying. But nevertheless, because you asked me, oh, listen, that was a good move on Peter. I will let down the nets. Read it carefully there in Luke chapter 5. The Lord said, let down the nets, plural. He says, oh, Lord, listen, we fished all night. And by the way, I washed the nets. I don't want to have to wash them again for no fish, right? And so I'm going to let down one net. I think he was thinking, I'll clean one. and anyway, you know the story. He brought in a great call of fishes that it began to sink the boat. And he was calling for his friends to come help him because the boat was sinking. And then finally, when they come to shore, Peter falls at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and says, oh, Lord, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. And what does the Lord say? He could have said, you're right, Peter. You're a scoundrel. You don't believe in me. He didn't say that. He said, from henceforth, thou shalt catch men. Amen. I'm going to make you a fisher of men. And stop and contemplate that just for a little moment here, right? Listen to what the Lord was saying. Listen, look at that object lesson. If I can enable you to catch fish that you thought you weren't going to catch, do you think I might help you catch men? One sermon, 3,000 men were pulled in. Amen? So that's what the Lord can do. By the way, that's what the Lord wants to do in your life and in my life, even right now. It is never too late. Listen. The weaker the vessel, the more glory to God. The more we see less of ourselves and less of what we can do, then when God does it, we'll give him more praise. And again, we can look at Abraham and why the Lord waited so late in life to bring Isaac. And that was part of it, too. And that was, by the way, also to help us understand it's never too late. Let the Lord use you for the time that you have here on earth, right? And we don't know. We don't know what length of time that's going to be. I was talking with Brother Don. He said, I'm the oldest in my whole family. I told Brother John, Don, you just keep pushing. 90's around the corner, and I think it was Brother Reed said, you might as well set it for 100, right? Amen? All right, set it for 100. Listen, let's leave God's time in his hands, and let's just be about giving the Lord this day what he's asked of us, and that is that we would give him all of our heart, all of our mind, and all of our soul. So let's consider these thoughts here tonight. Look with me in verse 21. We already know the unction from the Holy One there in verse 20. And I want you to know what this unction does and what it instills. And that is knowing the truth and knowing that no lie is of the truth. So look at verse 21 very quickly there. It says, I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Handle the word of God honestly and upfrontly. Then verse 22, it says, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. You know what he's saying? Be careful who you listen to. Don't listen to those who are the Antichrist. I promise you, listen, the news that you hear will waste your time more than it will help you. It really will. It really will. I mean, listen, and I can be a news junkie too. I think just the devil has worked it that way. And why is the news so important? See, ever stop to think? Because we feel like it's what's happening at the current time. And there are things, and I'm not saying that we should be naive or ignorant concerning what's taking place, just not given to it. You know, realize this. They don't tell the truth. They're not of the truth. They're of this world. Now, there may be some truth, but Satan speaks some truth too, doesn't he? But his whole objective is to deceive and to lie. And that's the world system. Listen, politics is of the world. It's of the world. And so we should not be given. I'm not saying that we don't participate in those things, but that should not be our motivating factor. That should not be what drives us. And by the way, everything that we do, science, and this is important, science is of the world. Now, is science bad? No. Do we need doctors? Do we need godly doctors? Yes, we do need godly doctors. But listen, we need to be careful that when we're in the world, that the world does not so influence us that it takes us away from God, right? Every time you touch the world, realize this, you are touching the spirit of Antichrist. In other words, listen, you can get even math. Well, math is so harmless. What's wrong with that? If it takes your heart away and you have no time for God and all you're given to is all these math equations trying to figure out how to create something, well, then the devil's won. Listen, if all you're given to is medicine, and this, that, and the other, hey, listen, the devil's taking you away. If it will cause you, listen, if it will cause you to close up the Bible and quit praying, the devil's won. Oh my goodness, listen, that's so harmless. Oh no. Oh really, it's not. And so we need to be careful. See, listen, we look at those things as all being so benign and innocent, but we've got to realize this, they can take our heart away, and then all of a sudden we've given more time to things that are going to end, and we've given little to no time to our God. And so if we are warned, that realize this, listen, every time you touch the world system, you have the potential of being misled or led away. And so the reason why we should be aware of that, because the Bible says, love not the world or the things of the world. And so we need to be careful, and we need to approach it. We need to look at it like, listen, every time you touch the things of the world, you're coming closer in contact with the prince of this world, and that's Satan. And he is looking to deceive, distract, and destroy. And so we need to be careful. Now, again, listen, don't misunderstand me. Is it that we should not be involved in those things? Oh, no. Listen, if God's called you into medicine, if God's called you into whatever field that's in the world, just be careful and cautious that the devil doesn't... Listen, there are things that the world would say, well, that's a good thing. And the world would say, well, that's a bunch of nonsense. Well, that's because they haven't been given the unction of the Holy One. And they don't know, listen, the destructive things that are in the world. And by the way, Satan is very subtle, right? He's working submarine, right? He works underneath. He's working in a very crafty way to deceive us. And so we need to be careful concerning the truth, and that no lies of the truth. And then next, I want you to notice that God wants us to abide in what we've heard from the beginning, and that is also because of the unction or because of the special endowment of the Holy Spirit. This becomes important to us. Look at verse 24. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. Now, let me ask you a question here. As we just heard this verse, it's saying that you need to be careful that you keep what you've heard from the beginning. And it also says, and that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you. And notice, ye also shall continue in the Son. So in other words, he's wanting you to make sure that this remains in the focal point of your forethought. Because if not, you can be misled away, and then that's not going to remain in you. Question. And I hate to keep using David, but he should have been out in the battle. He stayed home and committed murder and adultery. And so here we have a man after God's own heart. And people would have said, listen, David, my goodness, you're a warrior for God. You deserve a break today. Go ahead and stay home. Nothing. What could possibly go wrong? Oh, everything. And so we need to tread carefully and take heed to ourselves how we walk in this world. And so God wants us to abide in the truth that we've heard from the beginning. Look at verse 25. And this is the promise, that he that promised us even eternal life, these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Question, are there people or is there a spirit trying to seduce you? It just said it right here. I didn't make it up. You saw it there. And that's that word seduction there is to entice and lure you towards something that would lure you away from God. And so he's saying, be careful that you're not seduced. And then last thought, and there's a conclusion here, that we are to abide in the anointing of of him that abides in us. Look at verse 27. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. So listen to that truth right there. The anointing which ye have received, that's the Holy Spirit, is it not? Okay? And also of him that abides in you. Is that the Holy Spirit? He abides in you, right? And ye need not that any man teach you. In other words, not that you don't need to learn anything, but you know what comes from the Spirit of God. And so here we have, and by the way, listen, a little quiz, personal quiz to yourself, all right? Don't answer this out loud. The Bible teaches you and I that we are to try the spirits, whether they be of God or whether it is the spirit of this world. Okay? All right, here's the question. I'm going to give you the answer, all right? And it's not like I've had this figured out all my life. Okay, listen. How do you distinguish the difference between the things that are of the spirit of God and the things that are of the spirit of this world? Here's the answer. The things that are of the Spirit of God will draw you closer to God. Amen. And the things that are of the world will draw you away from God. It's just that simple in a nutshell. Is this drawing me to God or is this drawing me away from God? And by the way, if it points to you, you're still going away from God. If it plays on your emotions, oh, listen, nobody knows the troubles that you've been through. And that is all well and the truth. But the devil will use that for you and I. Listen, we don't answer this one, all right? Have you ever had a pity party for yourself? Amen? Ever felt sorry for yourself? Oh, yeah. We all have. There's no doubt about it. But and by the way, we felt good about it, and maybe even invited a friend or two to that pity party, and they jumped on the bandwagon and said, "You're right. They shouldn't have done that because they love you." But listen, it went south when the friends came over, okay? Because it didn't make things any better. They just jumped on your side, and you got more directed toward yourself. And it wasn't as bad as I thought it was until you told me how bad it was. Now I think it's even worse, right? That what they've done to me or whatever the case might be. And so the things that are of the Spirit of God will draw us closer to God and away from ourselves. And the things that are of the world will draw us away from God, the spirit of this world, and draw us more to considering ourselves and how we feel instead of what the truth is. So that was important. And that's a good indicator. That's a good way to test it. What is this doing? And you can look at listen to the Word of God that way. You can listen to worship music. What is this doing to me? Is it pointing me closer to the Lord and to glorify God? Or is it pointing me away from God and to myself or the world or wherever else? All right. Verse 27 again. Listen very carefully again. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. So here's what the Holy Spirit does. And everybody's experienced it. A truth is preached, and you see it, and you say, that's the truth. Amen? Amen. Yes, that's true. When I, and by the way, it's not original with me, okay? It's biblical. The things of the Spirit of God point us toward the Lord, and the things of this world point us away from God. This is what it means. Nobody needed to teach you that. The Holy Spirit confirmed you. Yes, that's the truth. No doubt about it. That is the exact truth. Now, so the Holy Spirit did that with me when I heard it, right? I heard it and I said, yes, that is the truth. That's why the Bible says, not that we don't need to learn anything, but the Holy Spirit is going to confirm truths like that. When you hear them, you will know, yes, that is. Where do we get that from? the Spirit of God. I never had that before I got saved. Before I got saved and somebody would have preached the truth, I would have said, interesting. I wonder if that's true. Because I didn't have the Holy Spirit. But the moment I got saved, all of a sudden, you know, so one time, somebody told me you could lose your salvation. I'm a brand new Christian. And they're telling me I could lose my salvation. Now, I didn't know enough about the Bible to refute or to ask questions. But you know what? In my spirit, in the spirit that where God dwells, it just didn't ring true. I was a brand new, maybe 2 months old Christian. And I just thought, this is just not right. Something about this is not right. And so I went and talked to a fellow who had a Bible study, and I said, Brother Alice was his name. I said, hey, is that true? And he said, oh no. And he took me to the scriptures, and he just showed me how salvation is in the hand of God, and that's a one time, never to be done away with. And man, oh man, I did not even know the Holy Spirit was saying to me, that's wrong. But now looking back on it, I see what God was doing. And so that's why when the Bible says you don't need any man to teach you, boy, oh boy, listen, the Holy Spirit's going to jump up and down inside saying, yes, praise God, that's the truth. And you're going to be right there going, yes, receiving that truth because you're a child of the King. All right? So verse 28, notice this. And now, little children, listen to this. Abide in him. Do you remember what Jesus said? Abide in me and I in you. This is together. Ready? And now, little children, don't you love that? Don't you love that, little children? Listen. Please, listen, I'm going to make an announcement tonight, and forever and always may it stand. Do not do anything for God because of what I said. Please, may it always be because God is leading you into receiving that truth and making it yours. I am not here to make you feel guilty. That's not the Holy Spirit, okay? I am not here to make you feel like you should do this, that. I'm not here to manipulate you at all. Here's the truth. If the Holy Spirit's not going to move you, I definitely don't want anything else to move you. Hear me? I'm dead serious. Listen, I don't want anybody to do anything for George Janshall, but oh, do I want all of God's people to do everything because God is leading them to do those things. That's where God receives the honor and the glory, and that's where the truth is at. I don't want a following. You don't want a following. All we want is honor and praise to our God and our Savior. Amen? All right. So he says this now, verse 28, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Now, hear me very carefully. Listen to what the Lord is saying right there. He calls us little children, and he's telling us how to have confidence when he comes, when he appears, and not to be ashamed. He gave us the answer, and this may be another Holy Spirit moment that you're going to say, yes, this is definitely it. How are we to be confident and not ashamed when the Lord comes? Ready? Abide in him. That's it. Abide in him. Now, that is a good and important statement, a good question. What do I mean by a good question? Bring that before the Lord and ask him how to abide in him. And ask him, and by the way, every day I need help abiding in the Lord. There are so many things in the natural realm, again, that are not bad, that need to be taken care of, that can take precedent over abiding in him. And so that is the key. But listen, did the Lord teach Peter how to abide in him? He did, didn't he? Finally, he did. That gives us hope. But listen, the way he taught Thomas and the way he taught Peter were two different ways. Ready? Peter, he was working on teaching Peter how to abide in him. Well, the first thing that Lord has to do is get us not to lean to our own understanding. That's Peter in the boat with the fish, right? The nets, okay? And then secondly, abiding lesson in for Peter was, you're going to deny me, Peter. No, Lord, I am not going to do that. I love you so much. And he did do that. And how about Thomas? How did he do it with Thomas? What did Thomas do? Oh, no, unless I see the nail prints in his hand and put my finger in his side. And the Lord appeared to him and gave Thomas what he needed. And he fell down and he said, my Lord and my God. Listen, Thomas did not learn, but was brought to that truth. He learned it. Please don't misunderstand me. He did learn it, but it involved God bringing him to that understanding. The same with Peter. Listen, there was no way Peter was going to learn what God wanted him to know until he wept bitterly. And by the way, we won't either. We won't either. We've got to come to the end of ourselves. Abraham and Sarah had to come to the end of their selves. All right? And as you look, by the way, Paul said the same thing. Man, I have learned in whatsoever state I'm with. I promise you, listen, he said, who's going to deliver me from this flesh, you know? And so the Lord has to bring us to this place. We've been redeemed. We've been given the free pardon of sin. We've been bought with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But now the sanctification, the setting apart for the honor and glory of God is still a work of God that he wants to do. And by the way, he has equipped us with all these things. Here's a truth that will blow you away. And you know this, but here it is. Ready? God has given to you and I everything already. There's only one thing that holds us back. Unbelief. That he's done that already. And that which he's given to us has been given to us from him, not from us. He's not wanting us to fabricate it or make it up. And I'll tell you, listen, that is a battle that we really need to bring before the Lord to give us the victory. And that, notice verse 29, if you know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. All right, now listen, how are we going to do righteous? How are we going to do righteous? It's not by us trying harder. It's not because we love the Lord. It's because we ask him to do that in and through us. It's because we come to the Lord and we say, Lord, my best is nothing. I do not want to depend upon. And by the way, listen, just look back at your history. You've wanted to serve the Lord and you've failed before, right? You've wanted to live holy for God because he's holy and because you love him, and you failed. And the reason why we have failed, when I say you, I'm saying we, the reason why we have failed is because we're doing it in our own strength. And you sincerely want to do it because you love the Lord, because you realize the great price that was paid for you, but that's not the way God intended it. The way we taste victory, men of Israel, why are you looking at me as if I did this by my own power? Jesus Christ, whom you crucified, my goodness. Where did that come from? That was not Peter. Now, wait a minute. Was it Peter? Yes, it was Peter. Was the spirit of Peter made alive in Christ? Yes, but it was enjoined with the Holy Spirit and it gave him boldness. You think all those disciples that were running because of the crucified Lord and hiding, now all of a sudden, where'd that boldness come from? Not from them. And then to point to the very same ones that crucified the Lord. But it's the power of Jesus Christ. And he says, from whom you crucified. Wow. Wow. Peter would say, and John would have said, man, the Lord was with you today. Peter would have never said, John, did you see me do that? John, did you? How about that, John? Huh? He would have never tainted the grace of God in his life. When Peter was speaking those words, do you think he knew who was doing that? And Peter would say, oh, Lord, may I never touch things that are holy. May that just all you, Lord. Listen, God wants to do that in your life and mine today. Do you think he got the attention of those Israelites, those men of Israel, when he spoke those words? In the flesh, we can do nothing. But with the Spirit of God, God got the attention of those people like we could have never, will never be able to do. And God still wants to work today. I think it's just a problem of understanding. All right. Conclusion. Go back with me to verse 1 here in chapter 2. Listen, and I'm just going to read through here. I might make a little bit of comment here, but listen to what it's saying here. My little children, I love that. That's how God sees us. These things write I unto you. Take it personal. God wrote this. Did he know we would be reading this tonight? And every time you read this, does he know you're reading it? Absolutely. And it's to you, and it's to me, and all his children. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you what? That you sin not. Now, wait a minute. Don't pick up the load. Oh, I can't sin. But wait a minute. We don't have the strength not to sin. But he who indwells us does. And that's where we have to point it to. Because otherwise you pick up a load that you'll never be able to carry, and God doesn't want you to carry it. And that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation. He's the payment for our sin. For our sins, and for not ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Wow. That's powerful. That's a powerful salvation, isn't it? And hereby, we, little children, do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Now listen, that's not talking about a work salvation. That's talking about if you are watching God fulfill his commandments, because they're not grievous if it's the Holy Spirit working through us. Now listen, they will be grievous and unbearable and undoable if we do it in our strength. It will not work. God won't allow it, because all we'll do is pat ourselves on the back and sing how great I am. Okay? And we're not. That's what we do. So God says, I'm not going to. I will give you my glory, but I will not share it with you. It won't be you and me. It'll be all God or none in you. All right. So he says, again, verse 3, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. In other words, listen, you are not really giving a testimony of the power of the Holy Spirit in you if you're walking in sin. What you are revealing is that you have no knowledge of the power of God in your life. You may be a saved child of God like David was when he sinned with Bathsheba, but there was no power. Was there any power of God in David when he sinned with Bathsheba? Was there any power of God? What power was working in David, the man after God's own heart, when he conspired to have Uriah killed? Whose power was that? Was that God's power? No, that was David's power. That's what we do. That's what we do. And so if we're failing, may the Holy Spirit reveal this. We're not connected. We're not understanding God. And so what we ought to do is not try to figure out anything. Just say, God, Lord, help me understand. Help me to know how you want me to walk. All right. So again, verse 3. Let's just recap and we're done. We're just going to go up to verse 6. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word in him verily, listen to this, is the love of God what? Did you get that? Perfected. Now listen to that. But whoso keepeth his words, in other words, listen, who's he speaking to? My little children. Are his children saved? But listen, is it possible for God's children not to be walking in the power of the Spirit? That's why this has been given. Because it's possible for us not to walk in the Spirit of God and to be not living in the truth, but living a lie. Because here's the truth, ready? Every child of God has been ordained of God to bear fruit. Is that true? The Holy Spirit should be saying, amen, brother, that's exactly true, but not by our power. If we're not bearing fruit, we've got the wrong power source. We've got to be connected, right? You know, there's electricity in lightning, is there not? But it's really to little of no use to us, because it's not stored and powered somewhere for our use. Now, we've got power running through this building, and you can throw a switch and get benefit out of that power. And by the way, we are connected by the Holy Spirit to the powerhouse of God if we'll use him, amen, or allow him to use us to do his will. And so what the Lord is saying is, listen, if it's not going right, you're still his little child. Just realize this, it's not right. And by the way, do you remember that he said that he wants you to have confidence and not be ashamed when he returns. And how is that to take place? In verse 28, if you abide in him. And if this is, listen, here's the indicator, and tell me this is not true. If we're not keeping his commandments, then the only answer to why we're not keeping his commandments, the only answer is because we're not abiding in him. When we are abiding in Christ, are we sensitive to the Holy Spirit? We are being led by the Holy Spirit. And when you are in the very presence of God, don't you want to just savor that moment? Don't you want to just, don't disturb. I need, that's why people get caught up in prayer. Because the glory of God comes down. And it's not that they're petitioning and asking for that. They are just basking in the presence of God. And when we are in the presence of God, the Holy Spirit will fulfill his will, and we are not going to be thinking about ourselves and what we want and what we need. We'll just be just in the presence of God. So listen, verse 4 again. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, listen to this, in him, in this child, is the love of God perfected. Remember what Jesus said? By the love that you have one toward another is how they're going to know that you belong to me. And hereby is the love of God perfected. Notice this. Hereby know we that we're in him. That's how we know we're in him. Is he talking about salvation? No. That just reveals to us that we're abiding in him. Question, do you think Peter had any doubt why that paralyzed man was healed? Do you think he wondered, did I do that? Do you think he thought that? Did I do that? But listen, he did pick this up and tell me who told him this. Men of Israel. There was no conversation. They didn't say anything to Peter. Why are you looking at me as if by my own power this man's been made whole? Isn't that what he said, more or less? Yes. But he said, oh, no, no, no. This man's been made whole by Jesus Christ whom you crucified. Do you think Peter said, now, did I do that? Or do you think he went away praising God? You know, we don't really see that. Unfortunately, maybe we should take notice of that. That man that was healed, boy, was he leaping and praising God. I'm telling you, Peter was doing cartwheels on the inside. Amen? I'm doing cartwheels just thinking about what Peter doing cartwheels on the inside. All right. So here it is. Ready? Verse 5 again. But whoso keepeth his word in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. But not in our strength. How did we walk as he walked? Abiding in him. Abiding in him. So if you fail, and we will, we'll know we weren't abiding in him at the moment. And if you fail, go to the Father, ask for forgiveness, and say, Lord, help me to understand to abide in you. Do you know God will answer that prayer? Question. Does God want to glorify himself through your life and my life? He does. So if we ask him, Lord, show us how to do that. Oh, man. We are now headed in a direction that will glorify the Lord. Now we're headed in a way that will change the world. Because it will be God in us that will change the world. Not us because we love God, but God through us. Do you follow that? Listen. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that indwells every believer that is waiting to be released through your life. We hinder him when we don't. Because, see, God will not infiltrate. He doesn't make us robots. He says, present yourself a living sacrifice. You've got to trust me. You've got to trust me. And if you're not coming to me, obviously you got other things that are more important. Is that not the case? That's just the way it is. So how important is the Lord, and how important is it for him to fulfill his will? If it is priority, top priority, then we need to approach the Lord and say, oh God, bring this to pass because I'll never do it. I've never done it. Listen, and even what I thought glorified the Lord, I understand now it didn't glorify the Lord. Didn't. But tonight, listen, you and I have been given an unction from the Holy One. Amen. Or anointing, a special endowment. The power of God abides in you, waiting for you to allow Him to work through your life. So tonight, God presents to you and I an opportunity that has the potential and the promise to turn our world upside down. Would you stand? As we prepare for the Lord's invitation, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for the salvation, Lord, that you've given to us and the sanctification that you want to perform in us. May we surrender completely to you and call upon you to fulfill your will in our lives for your honor and glory. And Lord, that we would be brought to the place of worship. Bless the invitation. Speak to our hearts as only you can. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.